I'd like to begin by welcoming everybody. Whether you're joining us live or online, I pray that you're excited about coming together to worship the living God, that you want to be right here, right now, to lift up your heartfelt praise and worship to Jesus the Christ. Now, let me ask you as we begin, what have you been doing with your time? What have you been doing with your time? Have you been praising the living God? Are you living a life of worship and witness? Think about this. We all get 86,400 seconds every day. What are you doing with your seconds? Because let me tell you, once they're gone, they're gone. You never get to re-spend or reinvest that time. Over 1,400 minutes every single day. What are you doing with your time? Do you realize that how you invest your time reveals what you really value? In fact, if you think about it, let's say you know that this person over here, well, they're a fisherman. You say, well, how do you know? They fish. This kid, oh, that's a skateboarder. How do you know? They skateboard. That's a dancer. How do you know? They dance. That's a singer. How do you know? They sing. You and I reveal what we really value based on how we use our time. So let me ask you, do you value time? Do you value time? You might say to me, well, what exactly do you mean? And I'm not looking for you to put a dollars and cents figure on it. I'm asking you at the core, in principle, do you value time? What's the value of a year? Talk to a college student who just failed a final exam and wasted that year in that class. They'll tell you there's a high value on that year. What's the value of a month? Talk to the parents of a preemie baby in NICU, and they'll tell you the value of a month. What's the value of a minute, of a minute? I want you to think about it in terms of a traveler, the one who just missed their bus or their train or their plane by 1 minute. They'll tell you, oh, there's a whole lot to a minute. How about a second? What's the value of a second? Talk to a first responder who came upon an accident where somebody's life was saved because they were 1 second away from having been absolutely devastated in a crash. They'll tell you the value of a second. What's the value of a split second? Talk to a silver medalist who lost their gold medal by 4/100ths of a second, and they'll tell you the value of a split second. Friends, I want to ask you, are you wasting, in an eternal context, are you wasting your time? Simply spending your time? Or are you investing your time in eternal blessings? I pray that you'll see before we're done today that you, your personal hope, your help, and your healing will be greatly impacted for better or for worse based on how you view and use your time. Your true personal help, hope, and healing will be greatly impacted by your personal view and use of your time. Now, we're going to focus on time today. I pray that you'll walk away with a new perspective on your time. And with that said, let me go back by way of review to last week, because there was a time component in our previous sermon that needs to be brought forward here. I said to you last week, do not confuse your past with your present. And sidebar here, have you ever thought about this? What differentiates your past from your future? It's your present. It's what you do right now, right here and now. And I said to you last week, watch out, because just because you heard in the past doesn't mean you're hearing now. Just because you were loving in the past doesn't mean that you're loving now. Just because you forgave doesn't mean you're forgiving. Just because you were humble doesn't mean that you're humble now. Friends, all of us, We need to be constantly checking and testing various aspects of our Christian life. Don't doubt me, it's the word of God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Working out, that's perpetual ongoing. We're told in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself. It's a command from God's word. Would you pray with me as we get ready to go into Psalm 119, verses 147 and 148? Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will hear you today, will heed you today. And I pray that all of us will have our sense of timing and relationship to you forever changed. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, let me tell you, as we get ready to go into Psalm 119, verse 147 and 148, another couplet, if you've not been with us, we know that Psalm 119 is divine passion, divine poetry, and a whole lot of divine parallelism. A couplet is when you get two verses that are brought together, each one needed to bring the wholeness of the meeting. What you'll see today is we're going to continue to focus on crying out to the Lord, a theme of this particular stanza. And at the same time, we're going to see that it's heavily, heavily weighted in terms of time, in terms of time. Now, we saw last week that we all need to respond to these truths. We all need to repent. We all need to repeat over and over and over again. So I pray that as you hear God continuing to repeat, that you'll continue to respond and repent. And then repeat the process. Pray, obey, repeat. Pray, obey, and then once again show others this narrow way of truth and love. For today's passage, by way of preview, let me share the big idea and then the three pillars under which we will unpack the scriptures. First and foremost, know this, that constant crying out is critical, critical for biblical and missional Christ-likeness. Constant crying out is critical. Constant crying out to Christ is critical for biblical and missional Christ-likeness. Today's sermon is entitled, How and Why We All Cry 24/7, 365. You'll see, it's not my words. This is the word of God. And we're going to unpack this under three applications. We all need to constantly cry out because of corruption, construction, and correction. Corruption, construction, and correction. Let me walk with you through the scripture here. It's God's word. I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I personally rise before dawn and I cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the night watches, so that I may meditate on your promise. So let's jump in together. Number one, let's take a look at the 24/7, 365 days a year corruption that calls us to cry out constantly. Did you hear in the passage, I rise before dawn, and my eyes are awake before the night watches? Well, in the context of the poetry and the parallelism here, what God's word is telling us is that the psalmist is constantly crying out, constantly saying, help me. Did you hear it? Before dawn and through the night. Before dawn and through the night. This is a portrait of Christ's likeness. Praying, crying out, early, 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 late, 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 and all in between. This is the essence of crying out. And if you look at our passage, in this stanza, verse 145, 146, and now 147, three times. Hear me, O Lord. Save me, O Lord. Help me. Constant crying out for help. For help. We've talked about this. We cry out because we need to be heard. We need to be helped, and we need to be holy. And we cry out personally, passionately, and purely. Not because it's somebody's great idea, but because it's the word of God that's directing us. So again, let me remind you that your hope, your help, and your healing will be greatly impacted, for better or worse, based on how you view and use your time. Now, this has been true for as long as humanity has had a history. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Had Adam and Eve been busy worshiping the Lord or working the garden as they should have been, they never would have entertained the serpent. Go to Genesis 4. Meet the next two humans in the Bible, Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4, verse 7, God himself is speaking to Cain and warning him. Hey, Cain, watch out. Sin is crouching at your door. You know what Cain does? He ignores God. He's not listening to the Lord. How do you know that, Pastor Jeff? Because the very next verse, and then Cain killed Abel. You see, we desperately need to both cry out and listen. This corruption, it's been around as long as human history. And it's also this corruption, it's very, very subtle. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but the corruption in you and the corruption in the world around you can be so, so subtle and yet evil at the same time. Let me show you a quick video that I pray will help you to find and see the subtlety of corruption. Here's my goal. Watch this. It's high drama. Watch this high drama and see if you can't identify the subtle corruption that I'm talking about.
So, do anything interesting this weekend, Sam?
No, not much, I'm afraid, Ralph.
Well, no news is good news, I always say.
Give you a hand. See you tomorrow, Ralph.
All right, so let me ask you, high drama, did you pick up the subtle corruption? No doubt some of you are going to say, corruption? Oh yeah, I saw it. There's a lot of violence. I saw the wolf trying to steal the sheep. In fact, I get it. I saw the wolf trying to eat the sheep. I know that church language. All true, but not what I'm pointing at. How many of you noticed the subtlety of the danger associated with their relationship to time and their relationship to one another? Did you see that Sam the sheepdog? He was Sam the sheepdog so long as he was punched in. He dealt with the wolf like a wolf while he was punched in, but lowered his guard. See you, Ralph. Hey, how's your weekend? I want you to recognize that there's corruption associated with your compromising and your part-time compartmentalism. Have you ever noticed when you compromise and you compartmentalize that all hell seems to subtly sneak in or suddenly break loose all over your world? Don't underestimate the power and the danger of subtle corruption. Don't ever forget 1 Peter. Don't ever forget 1 Peter 5:8. The devil is like a roaring lion prowling around looking for souls to devour. That's not a part-time problem. I pray that you've come to realize that corruption and our blind spots, they're not part-time problems. These are things that we must deal with all the time. Think about it personally. Think about it culturally. Think about it globally. Do you not see the world is on fire? Think about it missionally. How the church has become nothing more than potluck and social gatherings. Moralistic deism is at best the highest bar that most achieve, while so many are actually poisoning the world and their hearers with false teaching, wrapped in sweet-looking bows. Friends, I want you to think about corruption on a very personal level. I want you to think, because no doubt some of you are going to say, hey, listen, Pastor Jeff, I get connected with God. I'm here. I'm in church on Sunday. And when it comes to how I'm going to deal with it, if I'm the cup and here's God filling me up, I'm crying out every Sunday and I'm full. I'm absolutely full. See? Now, let me ask you, Sunday afternoon when you start thinking about work, how's your thought life? Do you find that you might start to leak a little bit? Have you found that maybe what God promised? I don't exactly remember. Oh, how blessed were we? Oh, I kind of forgot that. Have you noticed that blessings leak? In the business world, we say that vision leaks. Let me tell you, there's a whole lot of leakage. And we're only talking about what's happening inside of you. Let's now talk about when somebody else comes along and they rain on your parade. Have you noticed that you start to leak a lot faster? Right? Maybe that's being cut off in traffic. Or maybe you find out that one of the neighbors is lying about you. Uh-oh. But no doubt, we come and we say, well, hang on, Pastor Jeff. That's why I come to the midweek life group. I get filled up on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. See, no problem here. I want you to realize that if you will constantly cry out, I could literally cut the hole out of the bottom of this cup. And if I pour in fast enough, the reality is I can still overflow even with the holes. You and I are not going to be able to stop the corruption. The answer to the corruption is our constant crying out. It's literally surrendering and submitting ourselves to the love and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, of being a worship-filled, walking warning to the world and witness to the world. This is how you and I deal with it. And let me be clear, if your idea of crying out is simply to do it with your tongue, you're just talking. When we cry out with a pounding heart and listening ears, now we're worshiping. This is the key, and this is where you can see now a transitioning to the construction stage. I hope in your word. Friend, if you have any hope of hope at all, anything that will lead to healing and holiness, it's only going to come through the hope that is in the word of God and the God of the word. This is something that we're commanded to embrace and commissioned to embrace. Think about the hope that is in God's word. Mark 1:15, you must repent and believe to be saved. That's God's word. Come to me, all of you who are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It's John 14:6 that brings the clarity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you do come to me and live in me, you'll be, Romans 8:37, an overwhelming overcomer. Now, you'll have to abide and obey, John 15. Otherwise, Jesus says, there's nothing that you can do. But if you will abide and obey, note the time component of all of this. Abiding is consistency. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a time of consistency. Colossians 3:23, do all things as unto the Lord. Well, except for that part of my weekend. No, all things, all time. Remember that we've been called in Philippians 1:27 to live a life worthy of the gospel, except for Friday nights. Well, I do that on Sunday mornings and Tuesday nights. No, live your life constantly crying out. And to do this, we all need to obey if we hope to abide. And then we're going to need to abide if we hope to obey. This is the word of God. We see it as well in the commissioning. And if you want to connect the commands and the commissioning, go, I pray, to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a three-word verse. This is the whole verse. Pray without ceasing. There's a command from the word of God directly. Constantly cry out to Christ. Pray without ceasing. You're commissioned and need this. We all do. We need it per the Great Commission. If we're going to go make disciples of all nations, if we're going to teach them to obey everything that Christ commanded, we need to be talking to him. We need to be hearing him. Who, where, when, how? If you're not hearing, you're not heeding. If you're not listening, you're not looking and loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is going to involve looking and listening. It's Jesus who said, go, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. He's both our blueprint and our bullseye, this crying out. And we do it making the most, the best use of all our time. Ephesians 5:16. You might think I'm making this up. This is the word of God. Now, somebody might say, well, I'm not so sure I like that. I can't balance the American dream and faithful obedience. That's because you have never been called to balance anything. You've been called to live in faithful obedience. Obedience destroys balance. Let me show you what this construction looks like and why we cry out, why we, Bridge family, we cry out. Let me show it to you here with Mahali Safi, update number 3.
Okay, yeah, it's long time. As you can see, let the engineer explain here where we are today.
I think now that we are trying to lay the screeding of the floor. And on my right hand, we have the hardcore stone.
Hardcore stone, this is the hardcore stone we are talking about.
Which will raise the foundation from the ground.
For the foundation, yes.
From the foundation. Then on my left hand, we have the cut stones.
These are the cut stones?
The cut stones will be used for walling. Walling after the foundation have been raised.
Let us move really quick so that you can see what we are talking about here. What is this, sir?
The palace stone. The palace stone is one which will be used for slab and for the foundation screeding. That is the one we are using for the floor screeding.
Yes.
Sand.
This is sand, yes.
Yes.
I think this is the last, you are doing the last unit. This is the last unit.
And that is the floor screening of the last unit.
To make the foundation strong.
Ready to receive hardcore.
Yeah, ready to receive hardcore.
Yeah.
So you can right see here, it's mixed with cement.
Sand and that ballast.
Sand and that ballast. It is right in the foundation. That is where the hardcore, stone.
The hardcore stone will start.
The hardcore stone will start, and then we'll have the
cut stone. Will come on walling.
Yeah, it will come on walling. We are working with you in this. Mahali Safi!
Amen.
Amen. These are the people or the beneficiaries of Mahali Safi.
Yes.
As you can see, the young kids. Salam. Amen.
Amen.
Usema jambo.
Jambo.
Mahali Safi is a special place, and that is Pastor Frederick with the young kids. Habari yako.
Habari yako.
The kids are saying, hello, and how are you? Okay, behind us, we have the team that is taking care of these young ones. The ladies are right there. Mayo, Mahali Safi.
Mahali Safi.
Mahali Safi.
Mahali Safi.
Mahali Safi. Tazama. Mungu yu mwema.
Mungu yu mwema. Mungu yu mwema. Yu mwema.
Haleluya. Mungu yu mwema.
Mungu yu mwema. Mungu yu mwema. Yu mwema.
Haleluya. Mungu yu mwema.
Mungu yu mwema. Mungu yu mwema. Yu mwema.
As you can hear, the song is saying, God is good. That is what we say, Mungu mwema.
God is good. That building site, that construction site, will house 100 orphans and 10 widows. And I pray we're just getting started. This is God at work as we cry out and listen. Friends, I can tell you whether it's bringing irrigation systems and drought-resistant products and harvests to upper northern Uganda, or planting 5 church-planting gospel gardening brothers across India, or in Maryland, watching the Whitsitt Center open its doors to us, where we're getting a larger opportunity to pour into the least of these, the most struggling and the most hurting. Or here in the Northeast Kingdom, as we're raising up disciples who are making disciples and making disciples, please see, if we weren't crying out to Christ and listening and obeying, we would have missed out on so many miraculous works of the living God. There's no explanation for the Bridge family outside of the miraculous work of the living God. I pray that you've developed a passion to be his people, in part by crying out constantly. I can't stress enough how important it is that you cry out constantly and listen, lovingly listen, not watch your phones, not be sucked into the things of this culture, but to literally thank him for the privilege of being drawn to his feet at the foot of the cross, to be the very glove on the hand of God, and to not seek your own stage and fame and notoriety, but to thank God that you get to be a servant in his kingdom. And that you do this recognizing every single one of us, every single day, we need constant correction. None of us are perfect. I pray that we're passionately in pursuit of Him and His perfection, recognizing that we need constant correction. Listen to what the scripture said. I rise before dawn and I cry for help. Help me, Lord. All of my hope is in your word. My eyes are awake before the night watches. I stay up all night and I get up extra early so that I may meditate on your promise, so that I can see both your blueprint and your bullseye, that I can be the hand that you send out locally, regionally, and globally to touch people, to change lives, to literally make eternal impact. I ask you, friends, how committed are you to cleaving to Christ and asking Him, crying out, please, Lord, refine me and refresh me every day? I want to share with you an illustration. I took the time to video this yesterday so that we could have a chance to just sit under this. And I pray it's something that you'll consider and that you'll take away, and that God will use it to help you to see your relationship to time and your relationship to Christ and how they come together, and whether or not you're crying out infrequently or constantly. And be honest and thank Him for the clarity of His truth and His love. I'd like to share with you the story of our journey, all of us, the story of our journey. And I hope in doing so to impact the way that you think about the relationship between time and communication with Almighty God. Now, to do it, I'd like to use the example or the illustration of a trip between New York and LA, the very far northeast of our country and the deep southwest of our country. And I'd like to use an illustration from the old days, when the airline industry was just getting started, when you could fly from New York to LA. In the old days, when you didn't have all the airports and all the technology that we have today, you would set out from New York knowing that you had to go southwest, and you'd fly for a while, and eventually you'd find another air traffic controller somewhere over the Midwest, and you'd say, okay, here I am. What do I need to do? And you'd make a course adjustment. Well, in the old days, you didn't have too many that were out there helping you to understand where you were or how you would need to make a course adjustment. So there weren't too many voices that you could listen to that would help. So originally, you might, in that entire trip, only make a couple of course adjustments. Now, you can see you'd make some pretty broad and sweeping changes. The air traffic controller might say, well, you've gone southwest, but you've got to go a lot further south. And you'd travel for quite a while, and then eventually you'd get down to the point where you'd be able to check in again, and that air traffic controller would say, well, you still need to go south, but you need to go a whole lot more west at this point. And this is what your trail would look like, something along these lines. Well, as time went by and technology improved and the availability to check in increased, there were more opportunities to touch base with the truth tellers who would tell you exactly where you were. You could see that trip would change. In this example, you would go a little bit and check in and make a course adjustment. Go a little bit, check in, make a course adjustment. And in this illustration, I've got 5 different course adjustments you can see. Well, that was improvement. That was technology improving. And as you could see, the adjustments would need to be a little bit less because you were checking in more frequently. Well, let's go forward to the modern day where technology is at its best. And what you see is that nowadays there is a constant checking in, which creates constant adjustments. And it looks a little bit like this. You get to the point where it's just about a perfect straight line because over time, very frequently checking in, and over time, very frequently making course adjustments, instead of those broad, sweeping, huge adjustments, or even those moderately large adjustments, you get to the point where because you're checking in constantly and you're making constant adjustments, you're going to go along a very straight line. Now, let me show it to you this way to put it into a little better perspective. Take a look at the path of that first one. I'm showing everything in white for that first early on, when you're making the broad sweeping adjustments, only a couple of them along the way. And you can see that it's a pretty broad sweeping path across the country that you're making. Similarly, when we go to that five adjustment process where it's dramatically improved, you know, it's 2.5 times more checking in. So it's literally a monumental increase of improvement in checking in and course adjustments. You can see here that the broadness of the path has narrowed somewhat. Well, let me now go one step further and show it to you in that constant checking in, constant adjusting. It's actually known as pinging. When you see the pinging, notice now how narrow the way. Again, we've already talked about it. When you check in infrequently, you have to make broad sweeping adjustments. When you check in moderately, you make moderately sweeping adjustments. When you check in frequently, if not constantly, you'll make constant course adjustments. And that will tighten up the gap of your path significantly. Now, in the airline business, the difference between a broad path and a couple of adjustments and the new and improved way, it's time, which means it's money. You could go through the process the old way, and it would probably take you 6 or 7 hours because you had a lot of inefficiencies, a lot of waste. As things improved, you've gotten it down now to where it's maybe 4.5 or 5 hours. Because you're going on a much straighter line, you end up with a much tighter course. You use far less fuel and you get there quicker with less adjustments. Makes sense, right? Well, those are the facts. Let me now, I hope, apply the illustration to you in a way that will help you forevermore. You see, when we take this illustration and we apply it to our hearts, we apply it to our relationship with the living God. And instead of checking in with an air traffic controller, we're checking in with the living God. And we're crying out to Him for course adjustments. We're crying out at times with praise and worship, at other times with needs and fears. But always we're crying out so that we can be course adjusted into a greater Christ-likeness. Well, when you look at this now in terms of just the path, and I want you to think about Jesus and His teaching at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 13, He makes it very clear that the broad path, what you see here in white, that broad path, it leads to destruction, hell. And many find it, the vast majority. Friend, you don't want to go down that broad path where you're only checking in infrequently, only getting your course adjustments infrequently. If that is the pattern of your life and you don't feel the need to cry out, to submit and to surrender, and only get an occasional course correction, well, that's not looking good for you in the long term. Now, some of you would say, well, hey, I'm more like the guy in the blue or the girl in the blue. I'm not that wild and out there person that only makes a couple. But I'll be honest, I'm not clinging to Christ. I'm not pinging constantly. I'm more of a middle of the road kind of person, like that blue one. Not horrible, not great. Well, I want to remind you of what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16.
those who are the middle of the road folks, those that think that they can walk the fence. Jesus called you lukewarm. And he said, I will spit you out of my mouth, meaning that if you think that good is good enough and you don't have a passion to cry out to Christ, if you don't think it is necessary, if you don't see the value in this, that bodes horribly for you in the long run. Now, if we come back to Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, for those on the broad way, he said, beware, it leads to destruction, and that's where the majority of people go. He says in verse 14, the very next verse, but narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to life, heaven, and few find it. Friend, I submit to you that like the pilot that would be calling out to the air traffic controllers, you need course adjustments. You need to hear the voice of heaven. You need to know what our Lord has said so that you can literally walk and live. You can work and love. You can worship and live out the calling of the narrow way, that you and I could be those who realize that constant crying out is absolutely critical for biblical and missional Christ-likeness. And I'm telling you, friend, the amount of your commitment, your passion for crying out, it's going to be directly related to your quality and quantity of biblical blessings or curses. When you think about your path, the gap, your life path's gap, be it broad or narrow, is going to be directly related to your quality and quantity of both blessings and curses. I pray that you too will now have a heart to ping, constantly crying out to Christ so that you can live on this narrow path of constant adjustment and greater Christ-likeness. Amen and amen.
I pray that now, if not before, now you see why it is so critical that we constantly cry out. In the airline business, the gap that was out there wide and broad cost them a lot of money. For you and me, the difference between a broad and a narrow gap is sin. The question is, how passionate are you about wanting to have Christ-likeness in your life? Are you comfortable on the broad way? Do you think you can balance down the middle of the road? If so, wake up. Wake up. The living God cries out to you. He says to you, wake up. Come to Christ. Cry out to Christ. I pray that you see how absolutely eternally urgent this is. And if you say, well, I'm a believer. It's not urgent for me. Yes, it is. Because this is either about your justification or your sanctification. And if you don't think that's a big deal, it's probably for your justification. Because those that are truly in Christ want more Christ. Thank him for the privilege of being able to be an ambassador. Friends, I pray that you realize that we constantly cry out to Christ, not because God needs to hear us. It's because we need to hear him. You and I, Christian, us, church, you, whoever you are, wherever you are, you desperately need to hear and heed the living God all day, every day. Every minute that you're off course is a potential death threat. You and I can have incredible damage and destruction come upon us so quickly, so quickly. All you have to do is disconnect for a minute. All you have to do is drift and find yourself distracted for just a minute. Ask somebody who shows up, my son Griffin, first responder, Vermont State Trooper. Ask him what it's like to show up at a wreck where somebody was texting on the road. Just look down for a second. Bam! Entire families wiped out. It was just a second. I pray that you see how desperately we need to cry out, not to be heard, but to hear. You desperately need to cry out, not so that God will hear you, but so that you will hear God. I pray that this powerful illustration will help you to realize that.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, "Listen, I can save you money." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket." And this did not sound, I said, "Gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me." He said, no, you got to do it. You got to do it." And against every better judgment I had, I said, "Okay." Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, "Should we pray?" He said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't." I said, "Well, this time we're gonna." And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes, and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, "We're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out." I said, "Clouds make you do what?" Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, "Come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you." Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, "We're dead, aren't we?" I said, "There's a very good chance of that, yes." He said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know." But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, "Start asking for help." So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, "Hello, hello." We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, "Hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette?" And I said, "Give it to me." I said, "Tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane." The guy said, "I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo." And he said, "You're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you?" I said, "Tell them that's correct." Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, "The first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore." And he said, "I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life." After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, "We understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane." We said, "That's right." They said, "Well, the first thing we got to do is find you." And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, "My job is to get you home safe." He said, "That's my job." But he said, "Here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice." He said, "You can't see me, but I can see you." And he said, "If you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die." When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, "Okay, I found you. Now hear me clear." He said, "You're 4 minutes from a mountain." He said, "You're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice." I never said, "I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable?" You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, "I'm freezing all the traffic in the area." He said, "It's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage. And there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride." And he said, "I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice." He said, "If you start watching the storm, you will die." but I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, "We're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key." They said, "Trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice." Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, "Now, I'm going to line you up." He said, "I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross." He said, "Don't you forget this. The cross is the way home." Oh, yeah. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, "Stay with me. My sheep," the Bible says, "hear my voice and they follow me." Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, "Thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice." Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, the knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, "Hello, David." I said, "You're the voice. You're the one who got me home." He said, "I am." "Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice? You're the voice that brought me home." If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, "I'm the one who has the voice." All I can remember is that voice saying, "Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through." Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice. Holy,
holy, holy, holy. We sang it this morning. How important is it that you constantly cry out, listen, and obey? Notice he didn't balance anything on that plane. Do you realize that that plane, anywhere along the journey, like you and me, could have crashed and burned? All that needed to happen was radio silence, turning away to a distraction, not quite buying in. Do you hear them? They kill themselves. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. They think they know better. They don't trust. They don't follow. They don't obey. Friend, I pray that you will see that it's critically important that you constantly cry out to Christ. Biblically, missionally, eternally, it's critically important, if not for your soul, for the souls of others. We have been crying out and listening here for a long time, and we've got to see the miraculous work of God, and I've been at the funerals for those who turned away. It's real. It's real. Oh, I pray that you've come to realize that your hope, your help, and your healing will be greatly impacted, for better or for worse, based on your view and your use of time. If you've relegated crying out to Christ to that part-time thing, like you saw with the sheepdog in the cartoon, you're doomed. You're doomed. It is not a part-time time thing to be in Christ. And danger and destruction is all around, oftentimes in the form of deviant voices. Deviant voices. I pray that you and I will come to grips with this as I close. You need to face it. You don't know what the next 10 seconds will bring. None of us know what's coming around the next few minutes. The next couple of hours this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month. We have no idea. And every second that we are off course, off the narrow way, not cleaving to Christ, it is a potential death threat. But where those death traps and threats are, every second that we are crying out, listening to, and faithfully obeying the living God, His name is Jesus the Christ. Every second that you're listening and obeying Him, His voice is one step closer to victory in Jesus. You have the victorious Christ, and you're one step closer to Him, to home, to heaven. Oh, please walk away recognizing we cry out constantly, not because we need God to hear us, but because we desperately need to hear and heed Him. Oh, Lord, I pray that on this day, that eternity will be impacted by the way that those that are hearing You address their time, their talent, and their treasure in terms of their relationships to You. Lord, I pray in these two closing songs that You introduce me to this week, that those that need to surrender and cry out for salvation will hear the invitation so beautifully right here. And for those who perhaps need to be reminded of the incredible privilege and responsibilities to be in the family of God, may they be reminded of the moment that You called them out of the grave. May none of us leave this time anywhere near the way that we came. All by Your grace and all for Your glory through the power of Your gospel. We love You, Jesus. We love You and we thank You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen and amen.
If you're running, stop running. If you're hiding, stop hiding. If you're hurting, your healer is right here. If you're breaking, come empty. If you're needy, come hungry. If you're barren, Your comforter's right here. So come to Him, let Him bear your suffering. You can cast your care on Him. Let your troubles fall, let your troubles fall right here. So if you're longing, stop looking. If you're searching, stop wondering. If you're desperate, your sunrise is right here. So come to Him, let Him bear your suffering. your troubles fall. Let your troubles fall right here. Troubles fall. Yeah, yeah. All you wounded, stop fighting. All you reckless, stop striving. All you sinners, salvation is right here.
Yeah. my story. This is your story. Come on, listen.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. Well, I was broke.